A reading from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowds gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of God, men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
According to John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say then, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I've said these things to you while I'm still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I give to you, my peace I give unto you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The Gospel of the Lord. Please join with me in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, our souls inspire. Enlighten us with your celestial fire. For if you are here, then nothing else matters. And if you are not here, then nothing else matters. Be with us, we pray, in the name of your beloved. Amen. It's Pentecost, the Pentecost, the celebration, the feast of the Holy Spirit. Yet in the words of those that the book of Acts talks about on that Pentecost day when the Spirit is poured out, the explosion, what does this mean? The texts that we have today are wonderful texts, but there are a lot of confusion, a lot of confusing things going on, and there's a lot of misunderstanding. First, we have this story from Genesis, the ancient story of the Tower of Babel. It takes place in the ancient cradle of civilization, the part of the world we know today as Iraq. And the story functions to explain to young people why there are so many different kinds of languages. Kids would ask their parents, how come we can't understand those people that live on the other side of the river? Or how come when the traders come through on their camels to sell us spices, we cannot understand their language? And they tell these stories to their children. Long ago, once upon a time, everybody spoke the same language, which meant that everybody should understand one another, right? And they got this idea, this common idea, that they were going to build a great city with the tower reaching into the heavens. They were going to make a monument to human beings, maybe put the name of a great human being on this tower, because they had the power to become gods. They did not need God because they could, with their own effort and might, they could make of themselves something that God could not. Well, they had forgotten God, obviously. They thought that they had the control over their life and death, and God did not like it. So God came down and God said, "This will not stand," the story goes. And he mixed up their languages and he dispersed the people to every corner of the earth as kind of a punishment. So now there's all this confusion upon the earth, and that, my children, is the reason we have so many different kinds of languages. It's terribly confusing. You may know what it's like when you're trying to communicate with someone else and you don't speak the language. When Katie was in college, she spent a semester in Oaxaca, Mexico. And she was learning to be bilingual, and she is now completely bilingual. It was a great experience. All her classes were in Spanish, and her family, of course, only spoke Spanish to her. Well, I do not speak any Spanish. Well, I do speak a few words. Por favor. Gracias. Una cerveza. Her family didn't speak much English, and so when I'd call on the weekends, I would identify myself as her dad, her papa. But I found out later I had made a huge mistake when I came to visit Katie and her family. Her mom, her host mom, told the story of whenever I would call, she would have the delight of telling Katie, "Katie, your potato's on the phone." Spanish for potato, I guess I said. We know confusion can happen even if we're speaking the same kind of language. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but it's happened to me. After almost 38 years of marriage, I think I'm speaking English. I think I'm listening in English, but it seems like I'm living with people that speak a different dialect. I don't know, maybe I listen with male ears as well. What do you think? Confusion. Starting back in Genesis. And did you hear the gospel that we read from the gospel writer John? And some of you were following along, reading the words. I read them in English. You were following along. But do you understand what you heard? Do you get it? Jesus says, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father, and I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." Does that make perfect sense to you? If it does, please talk to me afterwards, because I don't get it. And Jesus goes on and says, "The words that I say to you I do not say on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works." That really clears it up, right? Words, works, dwelling in the Father in me, abiding. Believe in me, Jesus says. Just believe, trust is as simple as that. And if you don't believe in the words, then believe in the works themselves. Now that's getting interesting, because I thought as a Lutheran we're not saved by our works, but our faith, I don't get it. And then Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these." Really? I have a hard time getting my mind wrapped around that. Jesus says that you and I are going to do greater works than Jesus did. The last time I checked in the Gospel of John, Jesus turned water into wine, lots of water into a lot of wine. He healed a man who had been ill for 38 years. He fed over 5,000 people with 5 loaves, 2 fish. Healed a man born blind. And he raised Lazarus from the dead, and Lazarus was really, really dead. Greater works than these, how can this be? What does this mean? I'm confused. I'm really, really confused. What about you? One of the things I've learned about grief over the years has stuck with me is this concept of when you're in grief, confusion reigns. Whether it's a death of a loved one, a transition, an illness, confusion reigns when you're in grief. It's hard to focus. Making decisions. Your mind is unclear. It's hard to see clearly when your eyes are full of tears. Things are changing too quickly. You're wondering what next, and your head is spinning. Confusion reigns. I think we need to give the disciples the benefit of the doubt, because when Jesus is speaking to them at this juncture, he has just told them that he is going away from them. These are the words spoken to his disciples the night before his crucifixion.
Jesus has told them that he's going away, goodbye, he's departing. Their beloved teacher, their friend, their guide is saying goodbye. And that's why Jesus has to say again and again, do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. But the fact is, these disciples were what? They were afraid. And they were confused. So it was going to take something else. Something else was needed to light a fire under them. And that was the gift of the Holy Spirit. John says that Jesus didn't wait until the day of Pentecost to breathe his spirit upon his disciples. It happened on Easter evening. The risen one came into that locked room, and even though the doors were shut and locked because the disciples were afraid, Jesus came amidst them and said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. You can forgive sins. Get at it. That's your work to do. And he breathed on them the gift of his spirit. Go. You see, when you're in grief, it's so hard to believe, it's so hard to trust, it's so confusing, because all we can remember in grief are regrets, and our guilt, and our brokenness, and the towers that we try to build have come tumbling down, and all of our good intentions, and the ways that we've let God down, and Jesus, and the ways relationships haven't turned out the way we wanted, ending in brokenness or death. And as long as his disciples thought that Jesus was dead and gone, Jesus was only a good person. He was a great teacher, maybe a motivational speaker, I don't know. But that was the end of it. If death was the end, where would all this lead? And then Easter happens. And Pentecost comes with a rush of the wind, and God breathes the Spirit on this dying world. And the disciples are gathered together when the Holy Spirit comes and the tongues of fire burning and all speaking with the power of the Holy Spirit in their own languages. And each one understanding who came from the ends of the earth could understand. Now there was understanding. And this great diversity of God's people was no longer a curse, but was a blessing, because there was this common understanding through the Spirit. The understanding that now God's Spirit was poured out not just for a few good people, not for a few good preachers or prophets, but now the Spirit of God comes to rest on all people, young and old, rich and poor, slave and free, black and white and brown and any color in between. Because whoever you are, God's Spirit is now given to you. And with this Spirit comes power. Power to confront the powers that be in our world. Power to be the child of God that you and I are created to be. Power to conspire with one another for the good. With the Spirit, that's conspire, and that's what we do. Power to truly believe what St. Paul writes, it is no longer I that live, but it is Christ that lives in me, because Christ is alive, and I'm alive, and Christ is alive, and you are alive. That's the good news of Pentecost. So just breathe. At our 8:30 service, Grace Martin was confirmed in the faith through the rite of the affirmation of baptism, confirmation. And last night, Pastor Carl and I got to hear her statement of faith, and it was an amazing thing to hear about how this congregation has accompanied Grace along her journey, and her friends that have helped be a positive influence in going to Bible camp together and experiencing the Spirit of God. That Spirit that's poured out for all of us in holy baptism, it comes, and God gets so close to us, getting us wet with the Spirit. God intimately living with us. Jesus comes to hang out with us, and Jesus has no plans to leave. Let's be clear about that. So breathe, my friends. If you want to take a moment, breathe with me. Inhale, take a deep breath. And exhale, slowly in and out, fill your lungs with the breath of God. That's God's Spirit, which is close to you as the breath that you breathe, the air that you breathe into your lungs, giving you life. That's because God dwells in you. And God is filling my lungs. God is giving us the power to breathe together, to conspire for the good, power to dream big dreams, the power to see the vision of God's dream of peace, shalom, and the power to live into that dream, and the power to understand how much God loves the likes of you and me. Breathe deeply. Let the Spirit fill your lungs. No soul can guess love's grace till it becomes the place where the Holy Spirit makes her dwelling. This Holy Spirit that gives us the clarity to trust that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So just keep on breathing.